Coming up today on the Shelley Irwin Show podcast, the Graham hosts Rising, a conversation with author Gracie Harkema on the 23rd. We get a preview. Gilda's Club Grand Rapids presents a screening of the award-winning documentary The Life We Have. We discuss that. Student Scholars Day celebrates its 30th anniversary next week. We have a preview. We discuss the Grow 1000 Summer Youth Employment Program. And Art Club is a Michigan-based platform that connects local original artists to national retail partners.
Our Graham, in our own backyard, hosts an international speaker, author Gracie Harkema, come the 23rd. Rising, a conversation with author Gracie Harkema, the title. We talked to Gracie about the work, plus the CEO of the Graham, Cindy Foley, a program that's part of the related programming with the exhibit As We Rise, photography from the Black Atlantic that closes the end of the month. Cindy Foley, always a pleasure. Good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning. Great to be here.
I introduce you as an international speaker, but you're in our own backyard. Gracie, hello to you.
Shelley, thanks so much. I'm thrilled to be here.
Yeah, this is fun. All right, Graham doing great things. Goodness gracious, I know your gala sold out. Good things happening on the wall. I hope you're having a good 2026.
It's actually been a great 2026, yes.
Now that we're in spring.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I'm wearing shoes without socks. It feels really good.
That's TMI.
Yeah.
The Graham is also doing good things. You are continuing to present As We Rise, photography from the Black Atlantic.
Yeah, this is a fabulous exhibition. I swear everyone I fall in love with a little bit more, but art is really about storytelling, and this exhibition gives us a lens into, over 80 artists and their understanding of three big concepts, and those concepts are power, community, and identity. So it is an exhibition that has really resonated with our community thus far, and in particular, I think it allows us to explore Black artists who are trying to better share stories across the Black Atlantic. And by using those lenses of power and identity and community, they're really reframing the existence and the lives lived through the lenses that they want, the storytelling they want to use. So it's a fabulous photography exhibition.
And we know the Graham is all about related programming. You're bringing Gracie to the stage.
Absolutely. I think Gracie was an easy, we really loved connecting with Gracie and saying, hey, what do you think of this idea? Because I think one of the big concepts maybe in the exhibition is complex identities and understanding that we are more than maybe what we're read from the surface, or people understand us through a particular lens. And the more you get to know Gracie, the more you get to understand her story. But many of the artists and what they're kind of trying to tell us about their lives are very complex. They're the stories, it's like that onion where it just keeps unraveling. And the more you look at some of the art, the more you realize I make assumptions about the lives that maybe aren't my own and experiences that aren't my own. And I think Gracie is such a great storyteller, but she also has a way of helping us understand our own complex identities and relationships to self.
And Gracie is in studio. What's the name of your book, Grace?
My book is called Rising, and the subtitle is From a Mud Hut to the Boardroom and Back Again.
Yes, so much to discuss, so little time. You have graced many stages with your presentations, but tell us, for those who are hearing of you for the first time, a bit of your story.
Yeah, so my book and my story, it centers rising through adversity. It's about my journey being born in a mud hut in the Democratic Republic of the Congo amidst civil unrest to a young teenager who was near death and wanted me to have a chance of survival. So she had brought me to a nearby orphanage where then I was adopted by an American missionary couple from Grand Rapids. And the story is about my journey, how I came to rise into my own identity and also rise through the adversities that life throws at us.
Yes. What was it like to write it?
Oh, it was everything. It was therapeutic and it was also challenging. Writing my book was the most arduous thing I've ever done and also the most rewarding. I learned a lot about myself in the process, and the way that I wrote it is a way that the reader can see themselves in the story, where they can be introspective on their own journey and how they can come to triumph, to rise through the adversity.
Yes. Give me a story from your story.
I think the most compelling part of the story, you know, the title is the subtitle, From the Mud Hut to the Boardroom and Back Again. A major part of the book is me going back to the Congo after 30 years of thinking my biological mother was dead, and going back to try to find my biological family.
And what will you present on the 23rd?
So we're talking about rising. I love how the exhibit, As We Rise, centers the pillars of community, identity, and power. So I'm going to talk about my journey. You know, so often we hear people talk about rising through adversity in past tense. They talk about what they did in reflection. And, you know, for me, 2026 and 2025 have been one of the most challenging years of my professional career. So I'm going to talk about rising through adversity in present tense, what I've been going through, and also for the audience, how can we tap into the power that we have within ourselves? How can we lean into our community? And how can we continue to revel in the strengths that we have in our own identity to rise through the adversity that life will continue to throw at us, especially during times of challenge and uncertainty?
Yes. And the presentation, the exhibition at the Graham As We Rise, Photography from the Black Atlantic, you highly advise us to see this before it closes on the 26th.
Yes, come check it out. Also at the event, I'll be selling copies of my book, Rising. I'll do a book signing as well. But the exhibit is extraordinary. I've seen it a few times now. And it'll be also a time where I'll share some of my journey, some things that I have not shared with the public yet. So it'll be an incredible and powerful time of community and reflection and also dialogue amongst one another.
Yes. Tell us more, Cindy Foley, about either how to get tickets, how to get involved.
Go to our website. And you will be able to get a ticket. The event is free. We really wanted to make sure everyone could come out and join us on that evening. That also means the exhibition is free. So if you have not seen the exhibition, come a little early before the talk. See the show. We'll be open until 8 that evening. So you'll have plenty of time.
Yes. And more will happen come summertime and beyond this year?
Oh, yes. This summer, we will be doing a lot of fun things. But one thing I want to plug is Thursday nights at Graham. We are open late on Thursday nights. Thursday nights are free at the Grand Rapids Art Museum. And all summer long, we're going to have a bar, art and music, with activities and experiences. You can hang out on our terrace. You can go see art. You can meet up with friends. But we're trying to really establish Graham as a gathering place in the evenings on Thursday.
Great. All right, Gracie, and you'll have a good 2026. How's Teddy?
Yes, Teddy is doing great. He's amazing, living his best life.
He has four legs.
Yes, little Teddy Roosevelt.
There we are. How do we find out more about your work personally?
Check me out on my website is graciharkema.com, GRACIHARKEMA. GracieHarkema.com. Otherwise, follow me on socials. I'm on every social outlet. My Instagram handle is at the Gracie Harkema.
Again, Thursday, April 23rd, 6 to 8 p.m., a conversation with author Gracie Harkema on behalf of the collaboration with the As We Rise exhibit. Cindy Foley, Gracie, thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you, Shelley.
Gilda's Club Grand Rapids presents a screening of the award-winning documentary, The Life We Have. Let's talk to you, Claire Portinga, about this event come Monday night and a little bit about Gilda's as well. Good morning, Claire.
Good morning. Thanks for having us on, Shelley.
How do you spend your day at Gilda's?
I do. I'm a social worker there, and I help run the program to support people who are impacted by cancer or by grief.
Why do you do what you do?
I do what I do because I love the mission and I believe so much that relationship is what life is about. And at Gilda's Club, it's about connecting with people and realizing you're not alone in the difficult circumstances you're facing.
Thank you for that. And obviously, you are busy, but not busy enough to add new programs and new opportunities for all. What's happening Monday?
This Monday, I'm so excited to share that we're going to be having a free community screening of an award-winning documentary. It's called The Life We Have. And so this is going to be Monday evening at 6 p.m. at our clubhouse. And it's for members or volunteers or anyone in the community. You don't have to be affiliated with Gilda's Club or have been there before to come enjoy this film. And it is about a man who was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer 20 years ago. And he decided that he was going to run every day, at least a mile, for the rest of his life. So he has lived with that for 20 years, and this documentary is about that. It's extremely inspiring. And we're going to have, it's a short film, so it's 24 minutes. So we're also going to have a panel discussion at that time, and we're going to have sharing from a member who is a lifetime runner, Rich Benoit. He's going to come and share about his experience with running and how it helps him on his cancer journey. We will have Dr. Melissa Sunderman, who is the director of lifestyle medicine at Corewell Health. She's going to come present about what running and walking and movement can do to support someone on a cancer journey, as well as Dr. Naomi Kaplan, who's the attending physiatrist at Mary Freebed and director of the Betty Bloomer Ford Cancer Rehab Program, to talk about the benefits of movement, walking, and running for people who are living with cancer.
Yes, of course, running, walking, skipping, movement, certainly all advocated to get out for the mind, body, and soul. Rob Shaver is the star, and we still have him.
Yes.
Does he still run a mile every day?
I'm not sure that he is feeling well enough to run a mile every day now. There is a really nice opportunity at the end of the documentary. They ask people, there's contact information shared, because Rob still loves to hear from people who have been touched by the film and who want to share their own experiences.
This is such that you are asking all communities to gather, but specifically, even though I know you're not an official charity partner of the Riverbank Run, you're looking to kind of focus in on, I mean, that is a 5K, a 10K, a 25K, a walk, a hop, a skip. Yeah. Tell us more.
Well, whether you've run or walked before or haven't, if you'd like a goal, this really coincides nicely with a good time to train for the Riverbank Run. And as you said, we're not a charity partner, but we do have a team. So for anybody who would like to meet up beforehand, we'll be sort of developing arrangements and a plan to walk, run. You can choose to raise money for Gilda's if you'd like to do so. But if you just want to take a step forward in your own health and wellness journey, this is a great opportunity.
They're reporting with us on behalf of Gilda's Club, presenting the special community screening of the award-winning documentary, The Life We Have, Monday night. Do you want your guests to register?
Yes, that would be great. And if it doesn't work out to register, we just want you to show up. But you can register by calling the clubhouse at 616-453-8300. Or go ahead and go onto our website and send us an email that you're coming. We'd love to have anyone and everyone.
Yes, and as you mentioned, the documentary has received national recognition, many awards, and more. And it's not a downer, I trust.
It's very, very inspiring. In fact, I wrote down something he said in the movie, and I keep it on my desk, that we have a choice to live daily, deeply and thoroughly, and with beautiful effort. Not for the results, but for the richness of being alive.
Yes, and I know there's been a global nonprofit supported through the film's national Run for Rob campaign, and yes, you bringing the story. Do you, with your many cancer programs, do you advocate movement in general? Studies, I know, have been performed saying that that's going to help us one way or the other.
It is. It's going to help us physically, and we know it's going to help us emotionally as well. And I know that Mary Freebed, also the cancer rehab physicians, have been so helpful in talking about this and coming to Gilda's Club to do presentations, as is Corewell Lifestyle Medicine and other professionals who can really speak to the importance of this.
Yes, and not all are runners, so walk, but basically skip. Focusing on resilience, movement and connection is part of this big picture here.
Yes, so important to know that you're not alone and to realize that you can connect with others who really know what it's like to be living with cancer or with grief.
How else can we support Gilda's Club? And if one is either beginning, going through, or looking at another time frame with their cancer journey, I'll say contact you.
Do contact us, or even just stop by the clubhouse. Sometimes the hardest thing is to walk through the door the first time. It is such a warm, welcoming, home-like environment where you can find people who relate. You can choose the way that you want to receive support at Gilda's Club. Maybe it's a support group. Maybe it is the meditation or a gentle movement class that we have. Maybe it's playing the ukulele or just coming for dinner because we have free community dinners. So you can find your own way to receive support and walk the journey with other people.
Snacks served?
At the event, there will be dinner beforehand at 5:30, and that's free to all as well.
Nice. Good. Mm-hmm. All right. I ask for details one more time, please.
Okay, this is April 6th, this coming Monday at 6 p.m. Come join us at Gilda's Club Grand Rapids on Bridge Street Northwest to see this wonderful short documentary called The Life We Have. And we'll also have a panel presentation. And if you'd like to come beforehand at 5:30 for free supper, we hope you do.
That is all about fellowship. All right, Claire P., take care to you. Good work and stay the course.
Thank you, Shelley.
Next week's a big week for my next guest, she and hers. Student Scholars Day celebrates its 30th anniversary on April 8th. Let's talk about spreading the word about the event. Of course, the significant impact on students, their academic development. Say that three times. I bring you on Dr. Susan Mendoza. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Shelley.
Good you're here. Director of the CUSC Center for Undergraduate Scholar Engagement. It's what you knew, and of course, Office of the Provost you work closely with. Is this something you wanted to be when you were a six-year-old?
No, actually, it's not something I thought of when I was a six-year-old. I really just wanted to play. But research is playing, right? Yeah, it's extending curiosity.
Oh, goodness, you're normal. Susan, yes, April 8th, a big day. Let's do the qualifications. Tell me about the work of the Center for Undergraduate Scholar Engagement, obviously with Grand Valley.
Sure. Our center really focuses on providing students the opportunities to take what they're learning in the classroom and apply it outside the classroom. So that could be, in our case, we help students think about what they're learning and taking a little bit further through doing research or extending it into their workplaces. So that could be, you know, in their future classrooms, their future companies. And so it's something we enjoy incredibly. We have the Frederick Meyer Office of Fellowships in our office, which helps students travel abroad. And it's lovely work to do. So it really helps students kind of noodle through what is possible when they're still going through their courses.
I know there are a lot of students on campus. Do you touch many student lives, or is it more reactive? Do they come to you?
Yeah, a little bit of both. So we have students who are, as I mentioned, insatiably curious, and they might have a question that they want to answer that they can't find an answer in the classroom. So they'll come to our office and they'll ask if they can connect with a faculty member, and we'll help them make that connection. Sometimes their questions are about something like, how can I help a student in my middle school classroom manage their big feelings? And so that's a little bit of education. It's also psychology. And so we help students find faculty to connect with and help answer those questions.
What is Student Scholar Day?
Sure. Student Scholars Day is essentially a big kids science fair. So if you think about science fair or other experiences that you or your kids had, kind of in elementary school, middle school, where they had this idea and they built something or they studied something over time. It's like that, but in a collegiate environment. So it's not just science. It's more than that. So it can be nursing. It can be public health. It's history. It's classics. We have a lot of students who are in the visual and media arts that participate. And what they do is they take what they're studying and they try to explain it to folks at the university and outside the university and talk about what they've learned and what their results were.
Yes. And Grand Valley's been doing this 30 years?
Yeah, 30 years, and 17,000 students and alums have participated in that time. Yeah.
Where would the first anniversary students be now, right?
Oh, no, that's a math problem.
That is a math problem. Okay, well, let's move right along. Where and when does this happen?
Sure. It happens this year. It is on April, actually, 7th, 8th, and 9th. So the 7th is our keynote lecture. And we have Kevin Stason coming from Vanderbilt. And he's going to talk about kind of including a lot of folks in research and what that'll look like. And then Wednesday, we have all of our presentations. We'll have performances. We have exhibits that happen the day after. But this year, we have 350 presentations. And so, yeah, it's really grown, and about 700 students participating.
Are the kids, are the students getting credit or being graded, or is this just something they get to do?
It's all the things. So a lot of times we have about a third of students who do research as part of their coursework, and they'll get a grade for it. We have a third of students who do this on their own, and they're just really excited to share what they've learned. And we have about a third students who participate in like formal research programs. They'll do research at Grand Valley over the summer or during the academic year, and this is a great way to show what they've learned and what they've discovered.
How can the community get involved with this?
Yeah, thank you for asking. We would absolutely love to have folks join us for either the keynote, if you want to come on Tuesday, to listen to Dr. Stason. We'd love to have you there, or to come to Student Scholars Day on Wednesday. Presentations are from like 9 to about 5. There's parking available. We have snacks available, and students will be presenting throughout the day.
Yes. And, again, I think you answered this. Are the students junior, seniors, beginning?
Yeah, anything from a freshman to a graduate student. So we have students who are just learning how to do research, and early in their academic career, we have students who have been studying the same thing for 2 and 3 years, and they're presenting at the junior and senior level. And we have a number of graduate students. So our nursing students who are pursuing doctorates in nursing, they will be presenting their final dissertations. And then you'll also have students that are doing actually what's called zines. So they'll take, might be a concept in science. We have a whole group of students that are studying science of the past, and they take what they've learned and they put it in a little mini magazine format. And that's something that folks can look online and see that on our website.
Wow. Well, little birdie tells me this does continue to be a cornerstone, would you agree, of the university's academic experience?
Yeah, it's one of Grand Valley's signature events. And it's also a powerful experience for students. It prepares them for the workplace, talking about what a problem they might be trying to solve and make it meaningful for folks. So the workplace, it preps them for that, for graduate school, and the next steps that they have post-Grand Valley.
Well, if you're a student listening, don't procrastinate. You're working your project now, not on April 7th, right?
Yes, please.
Yes. Susan, how do we find out more information, obviously, about the Center for Undergraduate Scholar Engagement and this wonderful Student Scholars Day?
Sure. If you'd like to learn more about Student Scholars Day, just go to gvsu.edu/SSD, Student Scholars Day. If you'd like to learn more about the work of our office, gvsu.edu/CUSE.
Back to the office you go.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Shannon Harris on the line. Shannon, doing great work, Executive Director of Our Community's Children, leading the GROW 1000 Summer Youth Employment Program. And it was kind of nice to say the word summer. So, Shannon, we're going to talk about this and obviously your partners and more. Good morning, Shannon. Always a pleasure.
Good morning, Shelley. Thanks for having me.
All right, let's take apart the 101s. Remind me of the good work of Our Community's Children.
Yes, so Our Community's Children is a public-private partnership between the City of Grand Rapids, Grand Rapids Public Schools, and community partners. And we exist to create programs and to facilitate initiatives that better prepare young people for college, work, and life. And I think I've memorized that for the last 23 years.
I think you've got the elevator pitch down, and yet do know that one person may need to know and hear that frequently. So good, you're keeping our kids involved in the community and more. Let's get more then into what you have in store this summer.
Absolutely. So as you mentioned, our summer youth employment program is called GROW 1000. And we started this in 2020 in the beginning of the pandemic. And it was really a response to the pandemic and ongoing racial injustices and the economic downturn. But now it's more of a movement. So we're going into our 7th summer of providing summer employment for young people ages 15 to 24. Over the course of the last six summers, though, we've hired around 1,400 young people. And so this year we're planning to hire probably 200-300 young people.
What are your specific ages when you say young people?
Yeah, so 15 to 24 years old.
That is certainly young and more. All right, you are partnering with the wonderful Floresa Genautis with Management Business Solutions. How is this happening?
Absolutely. So Management Business Solutions has actually been partnering with our community's children for years. Prior to our Grow 1000 Summer Youth Employment Program, we had another program called the LEAD and the Mayor's 100, and they provided some workshops for our students. But this year, Management Business Solutions is taking on pieces of the program, so pieces like application collection and pre-employment document collection and payroll, and they're co-designing a interview process with us.
I want to take apart the formal title, GR Grow, but you capitalized GR 1000 Summer Youth Employment Program. Take that apart.
Yeah, so that's just highlighting Grand Rapids. So about 80% of our young people that participate in this program over the years have been residents of Grand Rapids. So we highlight Grand Rapids because this is the city of Grand Rapids' program.
Shannon, take me through the details of our timelines. Here we are, no fooling, April 1st. When are applications open and what's my deadline here?
So applications have been open since last week, Monday, and as of yesterday, I believe, we've already had 212 applicants. But the application will be open through May 8th, so the deadline is May 8th for young people to apply and turn in their pre-employment documents.
And obviously most opportunities will happen summertime?
Yes. So it starts in the summer, but we have interviews that will start in April. So April and May will be the interview a portion of the program, and then they go through orientation, but they don't start working until June 8th. So this is a six-week summer youth employment program, so June 8th through July 17th.
Yes. And in general, what kind of jobs do you foresee?
Well, typically we have jobs that are office administrative jobs, our supporting jobs, jobs in education, jobs in some of our community-based organizations. Of course, we have jobs here at the city. Many city departments participate every year. We have jobs in manufacturing, construction, arts, recreation, you name it.
Yes, you should. And a reminder, the fine print, this opportunity is helping kids build workplace skills while earning income.
That's right. So we survey our young people every year just to get a sense of what they're learning on the job. And we know that from the Grow 1000 Summer Youth Employment Program, they're learning those transferable skills like teamwork and communications and responsibility. So all are necessary in today's workforce and necessary not just in Grow, but really at school and after Grow. Maybe they get another job or a job in the future.
And in general, I don't want to put you on the spot, but how long has this been happening?
So we're going into our seventh year.
Whoa.
Lucky number seven, yes.
I like that. Well, it'd be nice to see, and I mentioned this even in an earlier conversation, you know, where those first youth, by now they're probably in college or out and about in real jobs, so it'd be interesting to see where they are, yes.
Absolutely. And we've actually started a kind of a longitudinal study to see where they are. You know, just to your point, many of our young people are in college. Many of our young people are working, especially that first cohort of young people that started in 2020.
And I like, Shannon, what you do have for the kids leading up to this. There are deadlines. There is an interview process. And is that online and or in person?
Well, all the interviews will be in person at City Hall.
That's even better.
And this is something new. So before this year, we didn't have that component in the program, but we find it to be a valuable element this year. And we're really evaluating the potential for success beyond the application.
Yes, well, lives to be changed, but it also takes responsibility to ask for an application. I trust this can be started online, Shannon Harris?
Yes, indeed. So we're asking everyone to go to our landing page on the city's website, which is grandrapidsmi.gov/grow1000. So grandrapidsmi.gov/grow1000. All of the information that I mentioned here is on there and more. We have some frequently asked questions, but there's also a button that leads them to the application, which is on Management Business Solutions platform.
And, of course, that's mgmtbsolutions.com. There we are, Louisa and her great team. All right, and again, you want, obviously, parental or caregiver help, but it's mostly the kid that has to do the work, I trust.
Absolutely. So this is their, and most of them, this is their first job. So we want it to be a great experience, but we want to know that they can do this. They can fill out that application. They can come in for an interview, and then they can be successful on the job. But I will also say that we're also looking for businesses to participate to be work sites as well. So businesses, if you're looking for a great intern this summer for 6 weeks, this is the program for you. You get a chance to give them some real workplace experience. You get a chance to enhance their job readiness skills and introduce them to career paths within your organization.
All right, one more time. How do I find out more information?
GrandRapidsMI.gov/grow1000, or you can just Google Grow1000 and it will pop up.
All right, Shannon Harris, you stay the course, Executive Director of Our Community's Children in this Grow 1000 Summer Youth Employment Program in partnership with, of course, the City of Grand Rapids, Management Business Solutions, and more. Take care.
Thank you.
Andy Bowerman on the line. He's a big deal. COO of Art Club. Now that's CLVB. That'll be one of my first questions. It's not a typo. It's a Michigan-based platform that connects local original artists to national retail partners. You're just coming off a pretty cool event. Let's talk about you and more. Andrew, good morning.
Hi, Shelley. Well, thank you for having me. It's fantastic to be here.
Of course. We're spreading your word, and I will ask you that first question. Is it Art Club?
It is pronounced Art Club. It has a V because we're artists and we're just, you know, like to do things just a little bit differently. And so it's our brand. And you'll see, you know, within our some of our technology products, we just use that V. And so, yeah, it's something we've adopted and it's just become kind of who we are.
There we are. I had to let everyone know it's not a typo. It's not a typo. It's who you are. Tell me a little bit about you and your personal work, Andrew.
Yeah. Art Club was founded in 2024 by a husband and wife artist team based out of Detroit, who I joined about a year ago. And it's a mission-driven company to bring more access to artists and to sell more art and make more opportunities for artists to be known. And at the same time, there's lots of opportunity and today a need for on the consumer end to find art that matches what you want and what you like, and even trying to like figure out who you are as a, you know, an art consumer. So that's the gap that we're trying to bridge at Art Club.
Are you a building? Do I visit or do you work online?
Well, we're a little bit of both. I mean, we are primarily an online company. We have a marketplace. You can go to artclub.com. You can buy, and as an artist, you can sell art. It's not intended to be sort of an everything store. It's really intended to be a curated experience that looks for you as a person. What do you like, and help you find and discover art? Because that's so much of the trick today. Like, great artists struggle to get discovered, and buyers don't know where to start. And so we really try to solve that piece. But so we are primarily online. What we're also doing is trying to bring art to the community. So we really want to support local artists in local communities. The event that you mentioned last Friday, of just a pop-up event that we did at the Design Within Reach store in Grand Rapids, that was really intended to highlight. We had four artists from West Michigan and also Detroit, so broader Michigan, but as regional as we could. And they were at the event. The community came out and really did show up, and it was a fantastic sort of collaboration and way for folks to get into this beautiful furniture store, see the products that there. So it's very synergistic that way. People come to these stores to buy furniture. they see art as well, and they say, oh, this is a great opportunity for me. So that's what we're doing. We have that also with partnerships with Gardner White Home in Detroit as well on Woodward Avenue, and that's been a really interesting experience to kind of bring that art to the community where they're shopping.
Not to spend too much time looking back, but who did you feature in this last presentation? What, 4 local Michigan artists?
Yes, we did. So Alexa Grambush is an artist. She's West Michigan, a little further north, more Traverse City based. And Alyssa Smith also from kind of West Michigan as well. Dino Valdez from Detroit. So we did have some Detroit presence. And then Ivan Montoya also from more of the east side of the state. So really, you know, just a moment in time to bring together these artists and hopefully like place their works in homes that are in the area. That's really the intent, kind of to like bring that local expression and, you know, and beyond the home piece too, we work with designers and larger institutions. You can think hotels, you can think hospitality spaces, or even businesses like law firms are often like, hey, we would like to have a representation of the community in our space. And we need to do that. And how do we do that? And so that's kind of where we're trying to bring that component to them. And hospitals, too. I mean, there's lots of opportunities for it. And we're kind of playing in all those spaces.
And obviously, so there's a kind of a call to action. Your goal, Michigan artists getting not only their work shown locally, but national exposure through a major retailer, I imagine, is your goal. So you're calling out for perhaps those organizations that would like to host Art on the Wall and also artists that have an opportunity?
Yeah, I think it's all that. Yes, we're very interested in building the artist portfolio. We are heavily concentrated in Michigan because we're a Michigan company. But we also see lots of expansion opportunities to other regions, you know, across the Midwest, but really across the U.S. over time. And so build that density of artists, that's a huge component for us. You know, and the artists that we really have found a lot of success with are, you know, kind of that mid-career or even like some of the up-and-coming artists that don't have the selling opportunities, maybe don't have the gallery relationships, you know, in some of the major markets. And that's a place where we want to build that density. And then a lot of it then what we take on is sort of that matching the style of all the artists that we have with what people are looking for. So, you know, within a retail space, it's going to look different than it might look within, a customer's home or within a hospital or a hotel or something. So we're doing the heavy lifting on sort of that curation and using a lot of new technology and AI tools to do that matching and help understand sort of what the taste profile is of those consumers. And so that's how we see scale, and that's how we see kind of bringing it to the larger audience over time. But, you know, ultimately, we want to make art approachable, and that's kind of the thing. And buying original art can feel intimidating today. We're trying to simplify it.
Simplifying is good. How are we doing when it comes to budding artists and getting work out in the out and about?
Yeah. Well, we've built a network with about 850 artists on our platform today, and so it's lots of pieces for sale. And so I think we have the momentum, and like I said, events in the community really help, like just to get the awareness from the artist community, also just to see sort of the interest from the consumer and the buyer side of it, and really make those connections. And so we're on that mission to continue growing. We have a great start. We're excited about where we are now.
All right. What is your call to action on behalf of Art Club, Andy Bowerman, UCOO?
Yeah. Well, I mean, really the best way to support Art Club is to support our local artists. And, you know, whether that's through us or directly, we just want to make it easier. You know, local first matters. You know, more art should be sourced locally so artists and dollars can stay in the community. And that's really kind of the mission that we're on. And honestly, awareness is the best piece of that from your listeners. And, you know, maybe check out artclub.com and see what you like. That would be my ask.
Wonderful. What's where do we find your work next or now?
You mean me personally or?
Yes.
Well, you know, my work, I look at this platform of our club as my work. You know, I'm more I'm a development. How do we build this? How do we build this piece? So that's kind of my art form. I'm looking forward to having that and seeing that grow and scale and just really just making those connections. This is intended to be a win-win across the board. It's a artist-friendly platform. It's something that really takes and makes it easy for a consumer to find what they need. And that's what I hope to see, just make it all work, connect it. That's really the true value.
Andy Bowerman, again, Art Club, that's CLVB. Keep doing what you do and featuring local Michigan artists with a national opportunity. Thanks. Talk again.
Thank you, sir.
Your inspiration for the day, according to Christina Dulcher, we don't all have to be carbon copies of one another to work on the same team, but we can learn from other people. I'm going to put this out and display it. Hope you enjoyed the show. I'm Shelley Irwin. Happy day.